Continue in our series we started last week called I Love Your Word. And last week I gave a 60-day challenge to you, and so many of you responded with accepting that challenge that for 60 days you would read 3 chapters a day. How many has done well? How many has done good sticking to your 3 chapters a day? Great. I want to encourage you, if you were not here last week, to join us in this. We're taking 60 days to allow the Word of God to come alive in our heart. Last week we talked about the message, learning to eat God's bread. And how many know that we have way too many Christians who are living on a spiritual Atkins diet? Well, they don't want to take any bread in. But God has never called us to live our life without bread. He says he has given us what? Our daily bread. There comes a daily portion that God has for us daily that he wants to nurture us, and it's called the word of the Lord. We know that Jesus is what? Jesus said, I am the word of life. He made it very clear, Scripture. We looked at that thread all last week, and we talked about how Jesus and the Word of God was the bread from heaven that God was talking about, and how he longs to give us this daily bread every day. Today, we're going to pick up on a thought, learning to drink God's water. Learning to drink God's water. Psalms 105, verse 40. Let's pick it up. And today, how many brought your Bibles with you? Anybody bring your Bible? Hold your Bible up. Good job. A lot better than last week. You're doing good. Give your neighbor a little hand clap. Yeah, a little pat there. Yeah, there you go. Listen, we're learning to bring our Bibles. Even though we have our scriptures on the overhead together, we're learning to become one with our Bible. Many times today that we, because our scriptures on the overhead, we get lazy, spiritual lazy as far as bringing our Bible with us because we have the scriptures up there, and I understand that. But we're learning to get back in the habit of bringing our Bibles with us, taking notes, and keeping good notes. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, okay? I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. So you're going to be taking notes, you're going to write these scriptures down. We're going to follow this thread through the Bible and look where God wants us to know. Psalms 105, verse 40 says, the people asked, and he brought quail, and to satisfy them with what? The bread of heaven. He's talking about the children of Israel. And he opened up the rock, and the water gushed out, and it ran to the dry places like a river. Water came from the rock. How many know the water came from where? The rock. Now, that doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense, does it? Water came from the rock. But this is actually based off a true story where God brought water in the dry place in the desert for the children of Israel. He opened up the rock. Remember Moses spoke the rock when he wasn't supposed to do it, and it cost him some big punishment there? When Moses struck the rock, the water came gushing out. And so we know that the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven, was a foreshadowing of what God wants to do. God does things not only for physical nature, but also to have a spiritual implication. And so we see last week the natural implication, the physical implication, was God fed them daily with manna from heaven. Then he went back and referenced that later on and saying that, yes, God gave you a physical food, but God also gives a spiritual food. He feeds you daily with the daily bread. We also see a significance here that the rock represents what? The rock represents God. The rock is always representing God in Scripture. It represents Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, he would build his church. And what? And water gushed out. And water also represents the word of the living God. It also represents God's Spirit. It also represents, we see water representing Scripture, and it represents the Word of God coming to life. We're going to look at this and see where God is wanting us to drink from his water. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, talking about the children of Israel, for they drank of the spiritual rock that was followed them, and that rock was who? It was Christ. And so Scripture is validating what we already know now. We're looking where Scripture says that the rock was Christ, and the water was just not a physical water, but there was a spiritual water that God was feeding to them, that God was giving them to drink. The correlation is coming here. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, how many read Psalms this week? I know many of you started in Psalms already. I saw some of your postings on Facebook. You probably read this Scripture. We started in Psalms 1:1. 1 through 3. Look what it says. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates what? Day and night. And he should be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in a season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. In the last week, we've seen with those who ate God's bread, those who meditated upon the scripture, he told Joshua they shall have what? Good success. This week, we see those who are planted by the river, the waters, they shall what? Prosper. How many of us wonder why we're not prospering on the things that we know we need to prosper in? And I just wonder if we will learn to get back to our spiritual diet the way that God has always intended. He said there's daily blessings, there's a daily manna, there's a spiritual manna, a bread, there's also a spiritual water that he's wanting us to live in constantly. And when we plug into this, when we get planted by the rivers of the water of God, he says those people bring forth good fruit. They also, what? They also prosper. And so we're learning to be people who God is wanting to prosper, who God is wanting to bless, and it comes through us being planted by the rivers of water. How many know there's a war right now? There's a war going on. There's a war of words. And let me tell you, there's three words out there. There's a war going on. There's God's word, there's our word, and there's Satan's word. And Satan always tries to trump what God is saying. That's what he's always done. The sad thing is this: Satan knows the Bible better than 99% of the Christians. Do you realize that? Satan knows the Word of God. The Word of God's very clear. It says Satan is very conniving, very knowledgeable about the Word of God. And he takes the Word of God and he twists it. And he wants to take the Word of God and twist it around to confuse you, to make you think the Word of God is not saying what it's saying, and to come against your mind. And so we got our word, we got God's word, and we got Satan's word. And so we're going to look at some of these today and see where does it fall under God's water and where does it fall in our life. First of all, number one, we see Satan tries to flood us. Satan tries to flood us. How many know a flood is not a good thing? Anyone here ever had your house flooded? That's not a good thing, is it? What happens when your house is flooded? Destroys it. And if you ever had a real flood come through, you know it can even take it off the foundation. But a flood comes through and it ruins and it destroys at the very foundation, at the core. Satan's goal is to try to flood your life. This is what he's wanting to do. We can look at Scripture and prove this point. Let's look at it together. Revelation 12:9. First of all, we know this, that the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old. In case you don't know who the serpent is, who is it called? Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. So establishing that the Satan is called what? The serpent. We see this happening in the garden when Eve was tempted and was talked to by Satan as a serpent. Satan, when he talks about serpent in the Bible, we're talking about Satan. Let's make it very clear. So knowing that, let's pick it up in verse 15. Verse 15 says, so the serpent, Satan, spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. When we see the word woman here, it's translating to the church. It's talking about the church here. When we see the word woman, we are, it's the church, the bride of Christ. We know that he's talking about the church. And the serpent spewed Satan, what? Satan spewed out water out of his mouth like a what? Like a flood. Not like a squirt gun, like a flood after the church. This is Satan's desire. If you don't know this, Satan's desire is to flood you. Let's make no bones about it. Let's make it very clear. This is his ultimate desire, is to flood you. And keeping that in mind, now this makes sense. When Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, knowing this, now let's read the scripture with new eyes. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened to him, like a wise man who built his house upon the what? The rock. Jesus Christ, the solid foundation. And when the rains descend, and when the floods come, who gives the floods? When Satan floods your life and the winds blow and beat on that house, it did not fall, for is founded upon the rock. Satan is going to try to flood your home. He's going to try to flood your life. He's going to try to do everything he can to flood you. and he floods you constantly. Look what Psalm 69:1 says. Psalm 69:1. I'm sorry, 69 verse 1. Save me, O God. And I got the wrong verse, so that's my fault, guys. They didn't do that. It's mine. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to where? My neck. I sink deep in mire. Where there is no standing, I have come into what? Deep waters. Where what? The floods overflow me. How many ever felt like that in your life? You ever say, how many ever made a statement, I've had it up to here? And you do. We're going to have it up to here because this is Satan's job, is to make you have it up to here. And the psalmist was conveying this very, he said, man, I've had it up to here. I'm being flooded. Does it make sense now to why you would say that? Does it make sense now to why you would feel stressed out? Does it make sense now to understand why you've had it up to here? Because Satan wants you to have it up to here. Because he is trying to flood your life. Satan is trying to flood and destroy what God is speaking to you. And Satan is constantly flooding your life. He's speaking to you. He floods you with words like, I can never. God, you will never. My family, I can never be different than my family. I'll never see my healing. I'll never see God's best. My children will never serve God. And Satan comes, and he comes, and he floods you with negative words. He floods you with negative thoughts. And this is the problem is this. It's not the flood that comes. The problem is our word agrees with Satan many times. Oh, you're right. You're right. I'll never be different than my family. My dad was a loser, so I guess I'll be a loser. My dad wasn't a good parent, so I won't be a good parent. My mom was a bad wife, so I guess I'll be a bad wife. Most of my family didn't serve God, so I guess my family won't serve God. We come into agreement with the words of Satan. We're coming into agreement with the flood that is coming into our life. And so we got to be smart. We've got to be of knowledge and knowing Satan is trying to flood us with these negative thoughts. These are not thoughts from God. These are not thoughts from God's word. These are not thoughts from the daily bread. This is why daily I've got to learn to consume his bread, and daily I've got to learn to drink from his cup. Because when I learn what God's word says, it contradicts everything Satan's trying to tell me. And so I am withstanding the flood by what God's word says. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. The problem is our words many times agree with Satan. Look what it says here in Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are what? Deep waters. But the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Now let's look at this. This is, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, now that we see the scripture and understand what's happening here. The words of a man's mouth can get you in deep trouble. And I guess you're right. I guess I'll never will. I guess we'll never experience God's best. I guess I'll never. And our words bring us into deep waters, the flood. But look what it says, but wisdom comes from a spring. How many know that spring? It's moving water, man. It's wellspring of wisdom. It's from a flowing brook. It flows from heaven's gates, man. There is something about God's word that is flowing life to your situation. There's something about God's word that is flowing life to your problem. It's flowing life to your marriage. It's flowing life to your health. It's flowing life to your problem today. You've got to learn to quit agreeing with the flood of Satan and say, God, I'm going to step into your brook. God, I'm going to step into your river. God, I'm going to step into what your word says is truth of my life. And quit letting my words tie me up. When our words do it time and time again. Proverbs 6:2 says the same thing right here. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. It's us. It didn't say Satan snares us, does it? It says we are snared by the words of my mouth.
Satan's just trying to kill me this week, Pastor. Satan just coming against me.
And I say, I wonder how many of us here that we are the ones coming against us. How many of us use our words against us? How many of us come into agreement with everything Satan's flooding our way, and we come into agreement with our words? Well, I guess I'm just not ever going to get what God's got for me. Listen, don't allow your words to dam up what God's wanting to do in your life. Don't allow the flood to be sucked away by that flood that Satan's trying to push you. No, as for me and my house,
there's going to be something different, because God's word says that I am more than an overcomer. God's word says I am victorious. God's word says I can change my family. God's word says I can break generational curses. God's word says I can be different. I can walk in a new blessing. I can walk in new health. I can walk in a renewed mind. Oh, come on. God's word brings life. And I've got to come into agreement with what God's word says. But if I don't know what God's word says, then I'm in trouble. I'm carried away by the flood. But when I just take time to eat of God's word, when I just take time to drink of God's water, I'm refreshed, I'm renewed, and I know exactly who I am in Christ. And so when Satan starts this, you know what I do? Whatever. Whatever. Satan, just run your mouth all you want to. But God's word says that I am true. God's word says that all things are going to work to good for those who believe in the Lord. It's coming to agreement with God's word. We don't need to agree with Satan. And the reason why we agree with Satan is we just don't know the word of God. Isaiah 59:19. This is one of those scriptures here. This is great for your refrigerator. This is great for your mirror, wherever you're at. If you're a person who likes to put sticky notes, write the scripture out. Put it, post it places. This is a great one. When the enemy comes, like a what? Like a flood. Who comes like a flood? We just talked about in scripture. We've seen. Satan comes like a flood. What happens? The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. So it's okay if the enemy is trying to flood your life. It's okay because the what? The Spirit of God is going to lift up the standard. What's that mean? That means the flood doesn't set my standard. The flood doesn't set what God is going to do in my life. The standard is set by the word of the Lord. The standard is set by the Spirit of God. And so my life, I don't have to walk around depressed. I don't have to walk around in the molly grubs all the time thinking that I'm just... No, according to the word of God, God's Spirit sets the standard. God's Spirit sets the standard in my life. You cannot beat Satan with your intellect. Do you realize that? You cannot beat Satan with your intellect. I don't care how smart you are. We cannot beat him with our intellect. We can't outthink him. Some of us think, oh, I don't fall for his tricks. You know, I'm not going to fall for anything Satan has for me. I can outsmart him. I'm tougher than he is, and you're not. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's look at Scripture. Let's look at Jesus' life. What did Jesus do? He was fasting for 40 days in the garden. When he came off a 40-day fast, it says that Satan tempted him three times. And all three times, how did Jesus, the Son of God, defeat Satan? He says, Satan, it is written. So every time Jesus defeated Satan through his temptation, he says, Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. So let me ask you this question. If the Son of God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, if he needed Scripture to defeat Satan, do you and I need Scripture to defeat Satan? Yes, we do, don't we? So don't think I can just get by with my intellect. Don't think I can just get by with my sure willpower. It's not going to happen. I get by the standard of the word of the Lord. When I can say, Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. It brings a new authority. It declares what God is saying to my life. And so we must have an understanding of the word of God. If you do not know the truth, you will believe lies. And that's where Satan gets it. He comes in and he twists the truth of Scripture and he tells you lies. And because we don't know the real truth, we believe the lies he says about us. We believe the lies he's trying to tell us. And so it's important that I know the truth of God's word. It's important that I know that Satan is trying to flood my life. It's also true that I know that Satan wants to famish us. He wants to starve us. Satan is trying to famish us, trying to starve us. Look at Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, and I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, this is an important scripture because what was God saying? He was saying, My presence is going to be there. The word of God is going to be there. Did he remove it? No, it was there, but people just aren't hearing it. They're just not comprehending. They're not thirsting for new revelation. They're not understanding. They're not having an understanding what God is wanting to do. There's a spiritual famine of God's word and bread. It wasn't that God's word wasn't available. It wasn't that his presence wasn't available. But there was a famine for people who were hungry for God's bread. There was a famine of people who were thirsty for God's bread. Look what Mark 4, 14 through 15 says. It's a scripture we've read recently. Mark 4, 14 through 15. Do we have that back here, guys? Well, I'll just look it up because then we brought our Bibles in, huh? Mark 4, 14 through 15. And the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So what is Satan trying to do? When the word of God is sown into your heart, what does Satan want to do? Immediately he comes to take it away. This is why when we're reading scripture, how many had this problem this week? When you're reading your chapters, that you read through a whole chapter, and when you got done, you forgot what you read. Anybody had that problem? It can very easily happen that your mind's distracted, and you're reading the word of God, and the next thing you know, you got through a whole chapter, and you're like, I got to get milk today on the way home, and I got to get... You're like, oh, what did I just read? I forgot. Satan wants to come immediately and take away what God is trying to do. He wants to starve you from God's word. He wants to cause a famine to happen. 1 Samuel 3:1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now I love the scripture because Samuel was what? He was just a boy, a young child. And Samuel was the high priest. It says, Eli was the high priest. And Samuel came and ministered to the Lord before the high priest Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word rare actually translates here meaning precious. It was a very valuable thing. People were not used to having people who were having revelation. Because in those days, there was no widespread revelation. And what we have happening here is a young child is ministering to the Lord. And what happens after this? We see where Samuel was shortly after this, and God began to call out Samuel in his sleep. Remember, he would say, Samuel, Samuel. And he'd be like, hey, Eli, what do you want? Eli's like, I ain't saying nothing to you. It must be God. And it says three times that God called out to him. Young people, let me tell you this, that God is calling out and he is speaking. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter you're in junior high or high school. It doesn't make a difference. If you have your heart right before God, it doesn't care if nobody else around you is getting the revelation. It doesn't make a difference if anybody else, it doesn't make a difference if anybody else in this church will hear from God. If you will get your heart softened and minister to the Lord, God says he will speak to even you. There's something that happens here, and there was something that Eli was just opening up his heart, ministering to the Lord, and God was speaking to him because nobody else was doing it. Nobody else was ministering to the Lord. Nobody else was wanting to hear God's voice. Satan is trying to starve us, to flood us. But this is the good news. Number three, Jesus wants to fill us. Jesus wants to fill us. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Look what verse 17 says. And the Spirit and the bride said, come, let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life, what? Freely. Freely. Jesus wants to fill you with the waters of life. Jesus wants to fill you with the river of life. Jesus wants to fill you daily with his water, from his word, from his spirit. Whoever thirsts can come to him. Isn't this awesome? He didn't say only the pastors, only the priests can come and be filled. He says, whoever desires. Do you have a desire for more of God? Do you have a desire to have God speak to you? Do you have a desire to have a thirst after God like you've never had before? He says, I will bring you to the rivers of water. This is what's so awesome, because when you thirst and daily you spend time in his word, daily you spend time eating of God's bread, drinking of God's word, water, what happens? He says, I will take the water of life to him freely. Freely he gives it to you. freely. Man, you got a free pass. I've got a free pass. We just got to go there. We just got to discipline ourselves to eat and drink what God has given to us. It's given to us freely. Look what Revelation 21:6 says. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. The fountain. How many know when he says fountain, it comes from within. A fountain comes from within. So how do I get a fountain that comes within me? When I drink of God's word, drink of God's water, when I eat of his word, I'm consuming the inside, and from the inside out, God flows. From the inside out, God does something. From the inside out, there's a fountain of life that's wanting to come out of you through God's presence, through God's word. This is why this is so important. We're walking around dried up, walking around believing half-truths from Satan, walking around not receiving the bread from heaven, or walking around not receiving the water from heaven. And God says, I want to do it from the inside out. I want a fountain of life to come from you. And it comes when I bring in the word of God, when I drink of his water. In John chapter 4, we see a story of where Jesus was at the well with the woman. And she's there to get some physical water. And Jesus quickly teaches her, you're not thirsting for physical water. Look what he says here in verse 13. And Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the well that they were looking at. He says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is what God's wanting to do. He says, I'm going to give you a water that will be a fountain springing up out of you, water of life. And how many have ever walked by a fountain? How many know if you get too close to a fountain, what happens? You get wet, don't you? So can you imagine if Destiny Church was full of people who become spiritual fountains? Now, I want you to think with me a minute. Just dream a minute. If we had a church full of people who become spiritual fountains, that everywhere we walk, people were getting wet with the presence of God. People were getting wet with God's love. People were getting wet saying, I'm dry. Boy, you got something there that I need. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for something. I don't know what it is, but I can tell there's water coming from your life. My life stinks. My life has no hope. My life is full of turmoil, but there's something different about the fountain coming out of your life. And people all walk into work, there's something different coming from you. This is who God is calling us to be. How do we get there? When I allow that water to come from within, and I got to bring it in so that God can bring it out. Plain and simple. I just don't know if I'm spiritually mature enough, Pastor. Can you read? Bring it in. Let God bring it out. I don't know if God's called me to be a pastor. Listen, he says freely to whoever. When we take it in, God's going to bring it out. Can you imagine the impact we'll have? Can you imagine the impact we'll have as we begin to take it in? Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've already experienced it this week. There's been a change in your climate. There's been a change in your attitude. There's been a change in people around you. It's because you are learning to take in daily God's word. Let me give you one more scripture here and we're going to close. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Okay, it doesn't get any clearer than this, does it? It doesn't get any clearer than this. He's talking about the love for our husbands and wives here, but he referenced the love of Jesus for us as a church. And what's he say? That Jesus wants to sanctify us and cleanse us by what? By the washing of the water, by the word. So this is what we have. The scenario we have is this. At salvation, my grace, my spirit becomes perfected. So Scripture teaches, by grace, my spirit has become perfected. And we know when I get to heaven, my body's going to become perfected. Right now, I don't have a perfect body. And I know for many of you here, that's hard to imagine. But still, none of us here have perfect bodies. But when I get to heaven, my body's going to be made perfect. My spirit, by grace, has already been perfected. But my mind, my emotion, my will, here on earth, still is not perfected. So how does it become a clean? How do my thoughts become clean? How do I get rid of my lust? How do I get rid of my pride? How do I get rid of my temptation? It says here, by the washing of the water of the word. God wants to cleanse us through his word. He wants to cleanse my mind. He wants to cleanse my heart. He wants to cleanse all these things through the washing of his word. So let's bring it all down to conclusion. Pastor Gene, what are you saying? In case you're not following me today. Because you know me, I like to make it very clear. I like to make it very understanding. Simple for us to understand. Because that's the way I am. I want you to just tell me how it is. What are you really saying? My wife and I, we've learned this over the time. Honey, just tell me what you really want, okay? Just tell me what you're really saying. Don't beat around the bush. Please, just tell me what are you really, not what you think you want me, no, what do you want me to know? So this is what I'm going to do for today. I'm going to tell you, this is what I want you to know. Let's make it plain. The reason that we stink is because we don't take our daily bath. Isn't that nice? How many of you ever had kids in your house? You know what I'm talking about? It is one of the most fundamental things we teach our kids every day. Take your bath. And how many know, as much as they know they should take their bath, as much as they probably don't even like to stink, it's still like pulling teeth sometimes, isn't it? Okay? No offense, Dr. Randy. Okay. Sometimes it's still a hard thing to try to get our kids to take a bath at a young age. Some of them even at an older age. But we know it's important they don't walk around stinking. So I wonder how many of us today, we would never dare get up tomorrow and go to work without taking a bath. Or go to bed tonight without taking a shower. Whenever you take your shower, your bath, whatever. We wouldn't dare do that because we don't want to stink tomorrow at work, do we? We learned that good hygiene is an important part of our daily walk. It's offensive when we don't. It's offensive when we stink to people and when it's embarrassing, isn't it? But how many of us, we take physical pride in not stinking? But how many of us spiritually stink because we don't allow God's word to wash us and cleanse us? Daily. I don't need a bath once a week at church. I'm going to stink if I don't during the week. At some point, I'm going to begin to stink. Remember when Lazarus was dead? He said, Lord, he stinketh. He's been dead for 3 days. Man, things are going to stink. Pastor, my life stinks. Your life is going to stink if you ain't taking a spiritual bath. My relationship stinks. Your relationship's going to stink if you ain't taking a spiritual bath. Is it making sense to you now? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen, we all can fall short. If I'm not careful as a pastor, I can just study when I'm preparing my message. And that becomes more of a habit of studying and preparing messages. But sometimes I just don't sit down and read. Just say, God, I just want to just take in today. I'm not looking for a new message. I'm not studying a topic. I can be there. I know exactly what you're saying. I can very easily fall into that habit. And so it's something that I have to daily to God daily. I want you to cleanse me. God, I want you to cleanse my mind. I want you to cleanse me. God, I want to wash at you daily. I don't want to thirst after anything else. I want to learn to thirst after you more in my life. I don't want to hunger for anything else, God. I want to hunger for your word. So today, we got to learn to drink of God's water, allowing his word to cleanse us. Our praise team is going to come up this morning. As they're coming today, we're going to close with a song. We're going to close with a song that says that There's a river. There's a fountain that springs from the heavens, man. And it's something that we're going to learn today to say, God, I want your river every day of my life. Let me say this to you. Your car can become a river so that your life can become a fountain. Your kitchen table, your desk, your study, wherever you open up God's word. 3 chapters is a lot. Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're doing 3 chapters for 60 days because we're taking in a good diet. But it's just, you don't even have to read three chapters a day. You can just read a few verses a day. Still take in what God's wanting to do. But right now, how many know sometimes you need a good detox? So this is what we're doing. We're going through a spiritual detox by taking in 3 chapters a day. We're going through a good spiritual detox right now. I think we all are seeing what God's doing because of this. I can see your postings on Facebook have gone from, I don't understand why nothing ever works out for me, to God's word says today that it's going to be a good day. I mean, your whole attitude's changing. Your statements are changing. It's only been 1 week. Can you imagine what's going to happen in 60 days? The atmosphere of worship's changing. I can sense that. You can sense it. I know you are spiritually sensitive. You can see that things are changing. Why? Because we're cleansing our minds. Cleansing our hearts and allowing God's Spirit to rise within us. So I'm going to invite you to stand today. We're going to sing a song in closing. When we do, I want you to let it come from your heart and saying, God, this is what I want in my life. I want your river to flow in my life, that I can rejoice and be glad in the rivers of the Lord. Make glad just hold it up where you're at. If you didn't bring your Bible today, it's okay. If you didn't bring your Bible, I want you also to raise your hand with you where you're at today. You just raise your hands where you're at today. How many of you have ever been outside when it's been really, really hot? You remember when you was a kid and you just want to get out there under that sprinkler? Under that fountain? Today, I want you just to imagine yourself today under God's fountain, under God's river. He is coming and He's bringing rain to your life. So with our hands lifted up today, Father, our Bibles raised, Father, we say today that God, we want to drink from your water every day. God, we want to become a living fountain, God, where your word is springing up alive in us. God, we're learning, God, that you are the one who cleanses us. You cleanse our minds. God, we cannot resist temptation unless we know your word. But God, when we become, Lord, consuming of your bread daily, consuming of your living water daily, God, there becomes a new reaction in our heart. There becomes a new living water that springs out of us because it's coming from the inside out. God, there's something coming, God. And I just pray right now, Father, over Destiny Church, Lord, that you begin, Lord, continue, God, a revival, God, of your word coming alive in our life. That God, that you allow the fountain of life to spring up out of us, God. That wherever we walk, Lord, whether it be in our campus, in our schools, in our workplace, that people are becoming wet with your presence. Not because of what we're saying, just because there's a spring of life coming out of us, God. There's a natural thing happening. And people say, I'm thirsty for that. What is it? God, I believe that, God, things are going to happen. Lord, offices are going to change. Work environments are going to change. Lord, homes are going to change. Marriages are going to change. School environments are going to change. All because we're allowing this river to come in to a dry place. We're refusing the famine. We're refusing to be washed away by the flood of the Savior. But God, today, we're going to drink from your water of life. We're going to agree with your word of life today and say, yes, Father, it's going to come, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray today and we accept it together. And we say, amen. Amen. Come on, sing it one more time. I agree with joy. Today, drink of God's word daily. TJ's going to step up and close us in prayer today. We say, God bless you as we close in prayer. TJ.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the word, God. We thank you for the word that's been spoken out by Pastor Father in the name of Jesus. We ask that it be imparted into our minds and our souls and our bodies, God, in the name of Jesus, that we continue to read your word, God, and continue to be hungry and thirsty for a relationship with you, Father God. We bless your name, God, and we give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.